USA Basketball finished the job. We are the champions of the Summer Olympics, but what will you miss the most from the Summer Games?
Live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios.
The man your man could smell.
Theo Dorsey is theoretically speaking.
But are you a different animal and the same beast?
What does that mean, Kobe Bryant?
Streaming live on YouTube, here's Theo Dorsey.
Good people. It's a Monday, August 12th, a Duffy's MVP Monday. And I'm feeling good. It's your boy Theo Dorsey, C-Cat on the other side of the glass on the ones and twos. And as we come off of a weekend where we got full slate of preseason games in the NFL, we got some of the biggest, most impactful moments in Olympic basketball that I can recall, and I'm sure you as well, C-Cat. And also, of course, we have a new update, more stuff on Noah Lyles, who, by the way, as the United States wrapped up the Paris Summer Games in 2024. I look at the total medal count and 126 total medals for the Americans, 91 for China. Big gap of a win right there. Bronze medals, we got them beat as well, 42 to 24. No competition. Silver, same thing, 44 to 27. But lockstep with China in the gold medal race, 40 apiece. And C-Cat, I don't like ties. I don't like ties. I like wins. And there's one singular person I can blame for America not having the edge in the gold medal battle. I think it would have to be Noah Lyles. I mean, I know what he did in the 100 meter earned us a gold medal, but what he sacrificed us both in the 200 and the 4x1, I mean, those could have been two more. If he's the guy he's been pumping his chest up to be, we would have had 42. We would be atop the podium by ourselves. I'm still a little disheartened by that, CK.
He talks an awful lot, man. He does not shut his mouth.
No.
Like, he's just a yapper, certified extraordinaire.
It's absolutely going to be one of the biggest takeaways, one of the biggest memories from these Olympics is the Noah Lyles experience. However you define that. Very little fans in his corner. Many people against what he had going, especially outside of the events he was running. But at the end of the day, again, we win the Olympics. The United States wins the Olympics. And I'm curious to you, because this was a very entertaining Summer Games. It was a fun one. Of course, this is a Duffy's MVP Monday. So we'll be giving out the MVP candidates throughout, as well as giving the winner of the Duffy's MVP, which athlete, coach, person in sports impressed the most over the weekend. And it's hard not to think about what happened with Team USA basketball over the weekend. To me, that's going to be the thing that sticks out the most to me when I look back on these summer games from 2024. It was not just the way in which the Americans won, both with the men's and the women, against France in Paris, right? Like, at their home court against the team that was, had all their fans in the gym and whatnot. But I think the biggest thing for me, the biggest takeaway, the biggest memory, the thing I'll never forget about these summer games is there is no gap anymore when it comes to basketball with Team USA versus the world. And if there is one, like, that gap is now like closer to like Mahomes' lead over the other quarterbacks in the NFL right now. Whereas, like, yes, there's a gap. There's a clear number one. There's a favorite. The United States basketball teams, both on the men's and women's side, are going to be the favorites every single year. We have the biggest stars. We have the biggest names. We are the deepest. But they can be beat. And that's the same thing on the NFL side. Patrick Mahomes, clear-cut, best talent we've ever seen at that position in the history of the NFL and the best in the league right now. But he can be beat. Joe Burrow got him once. Tom Brady got him twice in the playoffs. Can be had, but again, always going to enter as the favorite. Is that a good analogy of what we have going now with basketball, as we saw that Team Serbia almost got the United States? Like, that one came down to a nail biter. France gave them everything they could handle. And then on the women's side, I mean, 61 straight wins, 8 straight gold medals, but a 1-point win. And we're talking about the skin of their teeth.
Yeah. You know, as much of an American supremacist I am, as much of a patriot really I am, and I love this country, I also love great television, and yes, I love drama. So I'm not complaining about sweating out a Sunday afternoon hoping America wins the tiebreaker. I'm not going to complain about that whatsoever, because if we are head and shoulders above everybody, every single year. Sure, that's great for the American ego, but it's really not good for the drama.
It's not. And honestly, this that's what made this summer game so much more exciting. Like, number one, you know, in that 100-meter dash, though, again, I've been, you know, wishy-washy on what Noah Lyles is and what he means and what he stands for. That finish, undoubtedly incredible. It's a photo finish in maybe the most important race in the summer games, and the Americans did take it. And then you look at basketball, which we're used to just dominating. We're used to just going out there and you roll the balls out and you know, between LeBron and Carmelo Anthony and Kobe Bryant and Dwayne Wade or whatever stars we have out there, we roll our way to victory. But again, the memory I'll have from this, the longstanding memory I'll have from this is how the gap has closed. How the gap has closed. And I got that from that semifinal game against Team Serbia, which I would argue a greater game from start to finish than what we got in the gold medal game, which was still fantastic. But then you have people like Mike Greenberg on Get Up This Morning calling what Steph Curry did against Team France the single greatest shot in the history of basketball. Not just Olympics, not NBA, not college, any level of basketball. Mike Greenberg saying that Steph Curry's jumper is the single greatest shot. So to him, that's his favorite memory. That's the thing that's going to resonate the most with him. Can we hear the call on NBC? Of that Steph Curry step back three-pointer, double covered, and that was the ultimate dagger, the fourth that he had under 3 minutes in that game.
Back to Curry, dancing on Batum, over the double team. Oh! It's a golden dagger!
Night!
Curry, unconscious in the fourth!
He's a bad boy!
That call courtesy of Noah Eagle and our guy, Dwayne Wade, Heat culture, by the way, resonating all through the national airwaves these days. But I ask you, what stands out the most to you from these summer games? What is going to be your most glaring memory from the United States' dominance in the Paris 2024 summer games? For me, it's the gap being closed, but Team USA pulling it out both on the men's and women's side in basketball. For Mike Greenberg, he says that's the greatest single shot in the history of the game that Naismith created. What is it for you? 888-760-3776. 888-760-3776. Hit us up on the Baptist Health Hotline, and you know the number, and you also know how great Baptist Health orthopedic care can be for you. Are you experiencing foot and ankle pain and need to see an expert in the field? Baptist Health orthopedic care is a team of foot and ankle orthopedic surgeons and specialists who are regarded as leaders in their specialty. Visit BaptistHealth.net/ortho to learn more today. Baptist Health Orthopedic Care. It combines its resources of experienced physicians and leading-edge treatments and technology to provide advanced orthopedic, foot and ankle, joint replacement, spine, and sports medicine care. Visit BaptistHealth.net/ortho for more information today. Baptist Health Orthopedic Care has offices conveniently located in Palm Beach County through the Florida Keys. Learn more by visiting baptisthealth.net/ortho. And I promise today here on Theoretically Speaking, zero, absolutely no trash talking of Jason Tatum. I hate it that I had to mention it last time we were here on the airwaves. But again, now that he's both outed himself as a person that is a little sensitive to this stuff, is sensitive to the DNPs in pivotal games for Team USA, and also maybe not getting the credit he believes he deserves. He got his gold medal. He got himself a final championship in the NBA. So he's officially a world champion, Noah Lyles. Two-sided world champion. So no more hating out of you. And I'll give him a break. I want the guy to enjoy the rest of his offseason before he has to come back to the league and fail at defending his title. I want him to have some peace, some happiness for once.
Yeah, I guess so. We kind of opened up the really dam broke with us live on the air, and I feel like it opened the door for everybody else to talk more trash about Jason Tatum and Jason Tatum's mom, who was barking like an AAU basketball coach about playing time.
Like, what is happening there? And I get the criticism of Steve Kerr, because it's going to be a while. I think we're going to need some separation from his career as a coach to really dig into what he actually means, how elite level of a tactician, a strategist, is he? We know he's pretty damn good at massaging egos and dealing with what you need to be as an NBA head coach in a locker room. But he's been overly criticized in these summer games, despite the Americans winning. And also, despite the fact that he's a guy that you would think has enough cachet, right, with the championships he's won with the Warriors, with his ability to not, you know, I don't think he was a part of that. Yeah, he wasn't a part of that Redeem Team stuff. Everybody's calling for Steve Kerr's neck, whereas I would look at it and say, what is the one thing Jason Tatum does better than anybody else on that Team USA basketball roster? Like, what is the one thing that he does that can't be replicated by a guy that's doing more things, more versatile than he, that are getting those minutes? And I'd argue, not one, because he's not really that good at long-range shooting, which is what you needed, right, to create more spacing for guys like LeBron and guys like Stephen Curry to be able to you know, work that two-man game. And then also, not the best playmaker. Like, he just wasn't needed on this roster. He'll be needed more in 2028 in L.A., though, because we won't have LeBron, we won't have KD, we won't have Steph Curry. And I think that, C-Cat, is just like in these past playoffs when we were celebrating the fact that LeBron, KD, and Curry all were bounced in the first round, and we get to look at what the future of the NBA is without them. Like, the future of Team USA basketball in 2028 without those three guys, like, it might be a bronze or a silver medal for Team. I'm nervous.
I like how we started with the topic of saying we're not going to talk about how Jason Tatum isn't good enough to get minutes on this team, and then we just talked every reason why he's not getting minutes.
I mean, it's true, though. Like, maybe in 2028, he will develop his game into somebody that's more needed, more necessary there. But with what Team USA had on the court, like, even when he got in the gold medal game, the impact was just, it was futile. Like, it could have been anybody else doing that. I wanted to see more of Anthony Edwards, who, by the way, my take into the house was France covering, USA winning, Anthony Edwards 10 points. Did you see his final stat line?
No.
8 points. Ooh. 8 points in 9 minutes. He just, it wasn't his time. This was all about the old guard going out. LeBron James got the Olympic MVP. Steph Curry with the 25 points. I think his last 26 three-point attempts in the past two games, he hit 17 of them. Like, he was just unconscious. It wasn't about Anthony Edwards this year, but I do tell you, the ramp up between Victor Wembanyama, Anthony Edwards, I would even say Devin Booker, coming off of these summer games, like, those dudes, the inspiration they probably gathered from this run, as well as, like, the tension and all of those close games and seeing it from up close, like, be on the lookout in the NBA this year. There's going to be a lot of good that comes out of what happened over the weekend with the Olympic basketball finals, and especially those guys coming out of Team USA. It's always a great thing. And hopefully, Eric Spoelstra and Bam Adebayo were able to get into our guy's ear, Anthony Edwards, and just plant those seeds to harvest later on. It's real warm year-round out here in South Florida. Heat culture, you ain't got to deal with stuff like ownership issues and is it Glenn Taylor, is it going to be Alex Rodriguez? You don't have to deal with Rudy Gobert. I'm just saying, Anthony Edwards to the Heat eventually, hopefully that's what comes out of this Olympics as well, because that would warm my heart.
I got a question for you that might be off the reservation and might be off topic, but it's eating me up inside. Watching Steph Curry shoot the basketball is majestic. And I want to ask you, if you could pick between the two, would you rather be the greatest shooter of all time or the greatest dunker of the basketball of all time?
Easily the greatest shooter, especially in this generation, because that translates so well. It's in so many places. Like, you think about the greatest dunker in basketball and NBA history, like, I guess you go Vince Carter, you think about Sean Kemp, Blake Griffin would probably want to throw his name in that hat. Like, obviously the big ones like Michael Jordan. But there's, like, if you're one of the greatest shooters of all time, your impact in basketball is felt way more. It resonates way more than the guys that are just elite dunkers. Like Nate Robinson, you know, we're going to remember him more for getting punched out by Jake Paul over the pandemic than we are for those dunk contests. Like, that's at least going to stick with me more, where Steph Curry, I mean, it's beautiful. It's majestic. It's hard to replicate. And also, when that ball comes off his fingertips, especially like on that last step back three, C-Cat, like, there's no feeling in the world like having a guy that's that inevitable from three and having them just keep draining on you time after time after. Like, I would hate to be going up against that.
Yeah, when do you think the pendulum swung to where everyone would answer shooter nowadays? When do you
Curry.
Think? What, you just Curry?
Curry.
Just 2015, 2016,
had
that's
to
when
be,
it changed?
It was when everybody was lined up against those Golden State Warriors, and you had guys like Charles Barkley on Inside the NBA saying you can't win a championship as a jump shooting team. You had so many detractors about what they were building out there with the greatest backcourt when it comes to shooting in NBA history. But I do think that not only did Stephen Curry change the way that the game is played at all levels, he made shooting like that at that high of a clip like popular, cool. He made it also a winning formula. And that's why everybody's replicating it. Not, like now you see seven-footers like Victor Wembanyama, 7 foot five, out there shooting deep three-pointers, and it's normal. Back then, it would have been like, what the hell are you doing out there?
It's also a task that is achievable for anybody. I mean, if you're a fourth grader, you can't practice your dunks. If you're a fourth grader, you can practice your three-point shot.
And I would argue the one thing, out of all the greatness that Stephen Curry has brought, and again, if we don't get this gold medal without him, this is a perfect stamp on what is a legendary top 10, top 12 all-time career for Stephen Curry. He may have ruined youth basketball.
Yeah.
He may have absolutely, like, I don't know how often you're around, like, you know, AAU games or how many times you've gone to Little League games since. I've seen plenty of them either covering stuff for ESPN West Palm Play, by the way. Subscribe on YouTube at ESPN West Palm, ESPN West Palm Play, your best local coverage out here. Also, you know, I did some refereeing back when I was in Houston before I came here to ESPN West Palm. And the amount of kids, because they see what Steph Curry does, and you mentioned this before, C-Cat, he's not like a superhuman. He's not an alien. He looks like somebody that you can reach out and touch and be like. So many kids think that they can shoot it from 30 feet plus, and they're heaving it. They're heaving it up there time and time again, and coaches are giving them the green light, and it makes for some terrible basketball on the youth level. Terrible.
It does. It does. Because when you can shoot at the volume of Steph Curry, you can't have the efficiency, so it's a whole lot of bricks.
Yes. A lot of bricks, and then you make that one shot, and then you're throwing the you're doing the Carmelo three ball to the head, stuff all the way down the court. Mm-hmm. You're throwing up all these signs. You're 1 for 8, son.
Because that one shot that you do make makes the mixtape, and it looks really cool.
Oh, yeah.
You do not include the ones that go off the side of the backboard from the corner.
No, absolutely not. Why would you do that? Why would you be honest about what the whole picture looks like here? 888-760-3776. 888-760-3776. What is your resounding memory from these summer games? C-Cat, I'm curious what yours is. Should we get that after the break here?
We can go now.
Let's go. C-Cat, your biggest memory. What is going to stick with you the most from the 2024 summer games?
So, you know, Olympic basketball happens all the time. We're going to see more gold medals from U.S. men's and U.S. women's, and we're going to see a lot of U.S. domination. What we're not going to see is simultaneous tragedy as well as victory by this French pole vaulter, Anthony Ammirati. Now, he did like 85% of what you got to do in a pole vault, where he ran, he stuck the pole into the thing, he got over the bar, except for one piece of his body. And that ended up being his Achilles heel. The manlihood of him caught the bar, and that's why he didn't get over the bar. If you've seen it on Twitter, you know what I'm talking about.
The baby maker.
Everyone saw what he had packing on a national scale. No, nay, not a national scale. On a worldly scale, knew what Anthony Ammirati had beneath his, what is that, a unitard? Whatever that type of outfit is on the pole vaulter. Where it cost him in the Olympics, but you know what? If there's a way to lose, that might be the best.
Yeah, I mean, I heard he got some kind of like brand deal offers after that as well. I'm sure he also got some DMs. That's one way to go out. I'm not mad at it.
I know. It sounds a little bit odd for me to pick that one moment out of all of the
it's a little
legendary, tear-inducing moments of these Olympics. Even the opening ceremony was something to remember. The closing ceremony with Tom Cruise was something to behold.
Yeah.
But a lot of U.S. victory. No, the French guy who got his thangy-thang hit, and that was it. Yeah.
So you're telling me that video is just replaying in your mind over and over.
You know, the more we talk about it, I'm thinking, damn, I'm putting myself in his spot.
Oh.
Yeah, and I'm thinking, wow, if that happened to me, what would I do?
Would you be happy? Would you be excited about the fact that, like, hey, if I'm going to go out, like, at least the people know I'm, you know, I'm going out with a bang, right? I'm going out strong. I'm not going out looking bad.
You work 4 years for this pole vault, this singular moment, and all everybody knows you for is what you have beneath your drawers.
Well, you have a lot of people on our YouTube stream, and if you're not watching on YouTube now, at Theo Speaking, calling you out for being somebody saying you're the GOAT speaking, and others are saying, hey, relax, whoa, calm down. Maybe you should have picked something that was a little less, let's just say erotic.
Yeah.
A little less erotic.
Yeah. You know what? Hey, that's not me. That's not me. You took the men's basketball. We're going to talk women's basketball later on. So,
yeah.
Bronze medal for me was the pole vaulter who had his thing caught on the pole.
I took the men's basketball. He took the man's, well, manhood. C-Cat right there. Theo here. We're going to have Mike Tannenbaum on here soon to talk what happened with the New York Jets. We got a trade request and then a denial of that trade request and a guy that just got here moments ago and they didn't know he needed a new contract. It's a lot going on. And then also there's earthquakes hitting LA in the middle of shows, which I would be a mess if that happened to me. We address that and more on the other side. That's C-Cat. He still has that video of you, the Frenchman, getting your member caught on the pole in the pole vault. I'm Theo Dorsey. I'm more so thinking about that Steph Curry shot. Oh, my gosh.
Two different guys.
We're theoretically speaking on ESPN 106.3.
Live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, Theo Dorsey is theoretically speaking. Streaming live on YouTube, here's Theo Dorsey.
I think they offer muffin tops anywhere at Lone Depot Park.
I don't know.
Yeah. You had a nice muffin top. This is your first time having a muffin top in your life. What do you grade it if you had to go A through F?
I'd say like maybe a solid B+. I liked it.
Yeah.
But I didn't know muffin tops like as a menu item existed. I only knew muffin top as like your fat that protrudes from your jeans.
Yeah.
If you're wearing tight pants, then it kind of overflows male or female. I've known that as a muffin top.
Yeah. You're really big on the anatomy today. You're a big anatomy guy.
Yes, sir. Well learned.
I can't promise you they have muffin tops. I can promise you on Fridays, they got $5 brews. $5 beers. Where else can you get that anywhere in Miami but Lone Depot Park to go check out the Marlins play? Plan your week. Plan your week and your weekend around some Marlins baseball at Lone Depot Park. Come on. They got the D-backs starting on the 19th, a three-game series, and then you got the Cubs Friday through Sunday, and you know how we feel about those Fiesta Fridays. I mean, when they open up against the Cubs for that Fiesta Friday, $5 beers, fiery 305 eats, and the post-game Miami-style Hora Loca. Hora Loca. Did I say that right?
Yeah.
Hora Loca. Marlins.com/Fridays. That's how you lock in and get your tickets. There's also Legacy Saturdays. I mean, you want to talk about a shindig, a party of sorts. Legacy Saturday is going to do that for you. You can get your tickets there at Marlins.com/legacy or just tickets in general to a Marlins game is Marlins.com/tickets. Go check out the fish as they go and try and get some wins right in front of your very eyes at Lone Depot Park.
You're asking the whitest dude in the world if you pronounce something in Spanish correctly. That's hilarious.
Well, you are dating someone who speaks fluent Spanish, right?
Little personal anecdote that made me really sad on Friday night. So, yes, that is happening.
That is happening.
Apparently, girlfriend's mom is taking English classes. And the reason she told her professor to speak to me.
Aww.
Aren't I a piece of garbage?
That is amazing. You know what? She deserves a candidacy for MVP of the weekend. That is just that's special. You should feel great.
Yeah, like I feel like a piece of garbage because I haven't taken any Spanish classes to speak with them.
You don't want
to
speak with her?
I just, you know, I'm lazy. I'm a bad person.
You're not giving it the extra effort.
I guess I'm not. It's a wake-up call.
Oh, man. C-Cat. Lock in. Matter of fact, while you get ready to prepare your mind for that, how about you strap your seatbelt up as well because we got to hop on the Safe Bound Get Around.
I get around. What you mean you don't know? Round and round.
Safebound Gridiron brought to you by Safebound Moving and Storage. Where are we headed first?
Next stop, East Rutherford, New Jersey. Giants fans are rejoicing because of how great Daniel Jones looks at camp this summer. Believe it or not. No, but we mean literally because Jones now has a beard, so he actually looks more attractive. And even his coach, Brian Daboll, seems to be a fan.
To talk about.
Yeah.
I mean, you asked me about it, but...
Well, that's because I was tasked with making you keep the beard with any influence that I might have.
Dayball's a big fan of the beard. He was pushing the beard in the spring, and then I cleaned it up a little bit, and then training camp, I've tried it again, so we'll see what happens.
That there is Up and Adams with Kay Adams. You heard that little giggle that Kay Adams gave right there? That's all you need to know about how well the beard is working for Daniel Jones. Total rebrand for him. See if it works out on the field.
I like the beard. It's makeup for guys. It's what I've heard. It makes everyone look a little bit more attractive.
It's working for him. We'll see again, though. It's got to translate. Malik Nabers is like, yeah, the beard is cool and all, but how about you throw the ball in a place where I won't get hurt?
Next stop,
Indianapolis, Indiana. Colts superfan known as Flow with Seth. He's gone viral this weekend for his, he makes a music video for every single game the Colts play. And that includes the preseason. Take a listen to his latest work. You know, this is your first time hearing the song.
Yes.
It's my maybe 45th time I've heard the song, and I'm happy to listen to it for a 46th time.
This is our Colts. This is our team. We bleed blue. This is our Colts. Whether win or lose, we love them. For the shoe, beat the Broncos.
Oh my God.
Let's show them who the real horse is. This is our team. Go Colts.
Here we go.
Is that not the best, like, nay you've ever heard?
I didn't know. So yes, full disclosure, you told me you would have a Colts song for me. I didn't listen to it. I want to hear it live on the air.
This is our team. This is our year. We bleed blue.
Obviously, he's not a vocalist. He also is not even trying to rhyme there. There was a lot of opportunity to rhyme those bars, and he didn't even go for it. And that nay kind of set me over the top. I hate the song. I don't want to ever hear it again. I'm not sure why y'all are all enjoying it. I'm raining on Christmas here. I guess y'all all love this thing. I absolutely hate it.
Is that a good fan or a weird fan?
Absolutely a weird fan. But you know what? Isn't that the nature of it? Fanatics? A lot of them are weird.
Next stop,
going back to Jersey, but instead Florham Park, New Jersey. Aaron Rodgers admitted in his soon-to-be-published biography that if there was one thing that he regrets in his past, it was lying about the COVID vaccination status. You know, the whole I'm immunized situation.
Yeah.
He said, quote, if I could do it again, I would have said in August, F the appeal. I'm just going to tell him I'm allergic. I'm not getting vaxxed.
Yeah, sounds like a lot of excuses. Sounds like a lot of I want to rectify my image on the way out the door. And again, win with the Jets, and you can eradicate a lot of that negative feel, that bad taste we have in our mouth about you, Rodgers. But you're trying to put out a book and clear up stuff that you did 3-4 years ago. I don't think that's helping you at all. And that's the
next
end
stop
of the safe bound. Get around. Would you have some Rodgers stuff there?
No, I had. Well, you know, I did have some Rodgers stuff
there. Yeah, give me some Rodgers. What's up with the Rodgers?
I think that was great from Aaron Rodgers. I think a big trend nowadays is never apologize. Even if you do mess up, that admitting fault means that it discredits the rest of your opinions and rest of your actions. Because he still stuck to his guns, where like I wouldn't have gone and got the shot that I said I didn't want to do, but I wouldn't have lied about it. I think that was the worst problem in the Aaron Rodgers situation, was lying about it.
The problem I have with his, I guess, apology of sorts is he said the reason for him feeling bad about it or not liking it was because that's the only thing critics could get him on. So it feels more like, well, that's the only thing y'all got me on. I was wrong, so I'm mad because y'all were able to call me out for it, versus I was wrong in doing so. Or like, he's not truly remorseful for the actions. He's more so remorseful for the fact that people can call him out on it. So again, B for effort. A for effort every single time is safe bound, moving in storage. That's exactly where you need to go if you're moving in Florida, if you're moving out of Florida. Heck, if you're going from place to place in the county, safe bound, moving in storage. You're safe with safe bound because they're family owned. They're located right here in West Palm Beach. And beyond that, moving sucks. Moving is absolutely a dread. Trying to pack up all your stuff, trying to get it out the house without damaging the walls. Oh, now you've wrecked some stuff up. Now you're not only is your furniture damaged, but you got to repair that wall. And it's all because you're not a pro. Go with some pros that know what they're doing. They're Florida's moving company. So whether you're moving around the state or if you're going to another one, Safebound Moving and Storage has the experience, the expertise, and 5-star customer service you can rely on. You're safe with Safebound. Safebound Moving and Storage. On the other side, we bring in our GM here on Theoretically Speaking, Mike Tannenbaum, because I got questions. Hassan Reddick is out here, you know, demanding a trade, and Joe Douglas is saying, not so fast, but then why'd you trade for the guy if you knew he needed money? Mike Tannenbaum clears up a lot of that on the other side. That's CCAT. I'm Theo Dorsey. We're Theoretically Speaking on ESPN 106.3.
Live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, Theo Dorsey is theoretically speaking. Streaming live on YouTube, here's Theo Dorsey.
You know, South Florida is a great place for golf year round. The only time it gets a little tough sometimes could be in the summer because all of the rain. But if you want to just train and work on your golf game and train like a pro, KaiserGolfCenter.com. KaiserGolfCenter.com. It's as simple as that. That's the place to go train with the Seahawks because they have a 2,000 square foot indoor facility, three different hitting bays, ball flight technology, and also they got some of the best coaches, not just in the state, in the nation. KaiserGolfCenter.com. That's where you need to go to brush up on your game. Also outside, I mean, not so shabby. Driving range, putting green. You can work on your chipping. You can work on your short game. Anything you need to work on, they've got the facilities there. World class right there at the flagship campus of Kaiser University, KaiserGolfCenter.com. Whew. You know, somebody that might be getting their golf game going a lot more than they typically could this time of year is Hassan Reddick, New York Jets defensive end, but maybe not Jets D end for long as he's holding out, requesting trades, and the Jets and he at a stalemate. And to help clarify, a lot of that is our friend, the People's GM, especially here on Theoretically Speaking, Mike Tannenbaum, who joins us on a Monday. Mike T., how good does it feel to not be in Joe Douglas's position, your former GM position, with this huge stalemate between Reddick and the front office with New York right now?
You know, Theo, every year I get my physical with the Miami Dolphins. They have great doctors and still see them regularly. And I look at my chart every year. Every year I seem to lose a little bit more weight. I seem to have even better blood pressure. And every year I seem to get a little bit younger and younger. And it's days like today that it's a great reminder why. These are really, really hard jobs. And boy, I'm glad I'm not dealing with it.
Yeah. The more I look at it, the more I see, like, again, you know, and I love the offseason edition of Hard Knocks where they follow Joe Shane and the Giants. There is a lot of pressure and a lot of spotlight, especially when you're doing that kind of job in New York City, which, again, you did. And when you look at Reddick, 29 years old, one of the great sack masters right now in the NFL, doesn't miss games often. Why in the world is he not able to right now? What's the disconnect between him being able to get a long-term contract, not just with the Eagles, but now with the Jets?
Yeah, you know, there must have been some massive miscommunication because there's no way the Jets are going to trade for a problem without a solution. And, you know, there's two sides to every story, Theo, and usually the truth is somewhere in the middle. But there is no reason that an acquiring team who's acquiring a player that they know is having an issue with this contract, that they can't get it figured out.
How would you handle this right now? If you, again, we're now a game into the preseason, we're 3 weeks out from kicking this thing off. The Jets have intentions on contending, not just to make the playoffs, but for a Super Bowl this year under Aaron Rodgers. And he's a guy that would be pivotal to that as one of the best, again, guys off the edge when it comes to getting to the quarterback. What do you do right now other than say, hey, Reddick, we're not trading you, but how do you get him happy? How do you get him back in-house to play football for the Jets this year?
Theo, you got to do three things. Number one, tamp down the noise. Nothing good comes out of sniping at each other in the media. Number two, meet face-to-face in person. It's always more effective when you meet in person. And then number three, be a great listener. The most underrated aspect of being a great negotiator is being a great listener. It's amazing sometimes how you can get the answers just by asking the right questions.
Mike Tannenbaum joining us here, former Jets GM. Glad to not be in that chair today here on Theoretically Speaking, more so analyzing what's going on in New York. Mike T., what do you see right now? I mean, one more thing on the Jets here, outside of just Hassan Reddick. Let's just assume he doesn't suit up for the Jets, whether that be a trade or him sitting the year out. What's your feel about what the ceiling for this team could actually be this year? They've got a lot of guys up front to make up for if Reddick doesn't pull up. Will McDonald, Jermaine Johnson, Quinnen Williams, Javon Kinlaw. They brought back Solomon Thomas. Like, they're pretty deep on both sides of the ball. How far could this team go, even if they don't have Hassan Reddick on the squad?
I think it's about a 10-win team, Theo, and here's why. Aaron Rodgers hasn't played good football in 3 years. He's 40 years old. He's coming off the Achilles. I think he'll play well, but I think it's going to take a minute. And you look at some of these, you know, teams in the AFC with, you know, obviously starting with Kansas City, but Houston and Certainly Jacksonville, we'll see where Miami is with, their offensive line and try to keep Tua healthy, but they could score points. Buffalo's the defending division champs until proven otherwise. And then in the North, I can give you a really good argument for any one of those four teams. So I think the AFC is just incredibly deep and talented, and I think the Jets will make progress, but I don't see them getting over most of those teams.
Yeah, and I think, too, when you look at that division and how nobody can seem to pick a winner definitively, it would be nice. It would be nice to get some clarity, and bringing him back in-house, Reddick, would help that for the Jets. I do want to get you out of here on a good note. We got two non-Jets questions here for you, Mike T. I'll start one off right here, and then C-Cat has one for you. Rookie quarterbacks. We saw a lot of them over the weekend. Caleb Williams, Bo Nix. We saw, obviously, Drake May as well, Jaden Daniels. Of all of the rookie QBs, what was the biggest thing that stood out? Did anybody change your mind or your perspective on what they can actually do in their first year based on what you've seen so far?
I'll tell you what, Bo Nix probably had a little bit more juice than I thought he would have. Like, Caleb was an A, Jaden Daniels was an A. Penix is a really good throw of the football. I'm a huge J.J. McCarthy fan. I'm still shocked the Giants didn't take him at 6. And then, I did have questions about Bo Nix's arm strength, but I thought that he probably exceeded expectations. The big winner to me was Roger Goodell. I mean, when you see those quarterbacks go out and do what they did, I mean, it was just fun to watch. And look, it's the preseason. We know they're going to have terrible games, and that's just part of the process. But, you stack on, a healthy Anthony Richardson, hopefully an improved Bryce Young, and what C.J. Stroud did was historic, and you're like, wow, look at all these young quarterbacks.
Yeah, it is. The NFL is in good hands. The quarterback, the state of the quarterback position is great. And then, yes, you have the New York Giants who still have Daniel Jones out there. Apparently, I stole C-Cat's question, Mike T.
I wanted to hear about Bo Nix, and yeah. I got what I needed to hear about Bo Nix, because I think that Denver may have another inkling that they might have found their quarterback.
Wow. I'm glad that
question about it.
I'm glad everybody feels that way. That excites me about some of those Broncos pass catchers you can get late in fantasy football drafts. Mike T, appreciate your time on this Monday. Again, congratulations on the bill of good health, and also congrats on the fact that you're not in that chair with the Jets right now.
All right. Thanks so much, guys. Have a great week.
Thank you. Thank you for joining us, Mike Tannenbaum, our guy, the People's GM here on Theoretically Speaking, always brought to you by Eisner Amper. That is he's got to be correct there. There's no way you can control your blood pressure, your cholesterol. All of those things are driven sometimes by stress, and no more stressful job in the NFL right now than the New York Jets. I mean, you got to manage Aaron Rodgers. Your offensive coordinator is Nate Hackett, and you got a holdout from a guy that you just traded for 4 months ago and a trade request. On that note, how about we do some Teddy Two-a-days? Our NFL previews here on Theoretically Speaking, Teddy Two-a-days, where we tackle two teams for the price of one, because we love you, because we give the people what they want. And how about we just start where we left off with the New York Jets? J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets. Because who doesn't like enough of Jets talk? Last year, they went 7-10 with Zach Wilson, Trevor Siemian, and Tim Boyle playing quarterback. They bring in Mike Williams from the Chargers. They bring in Tyron Smith, Morgan Moses, and John Simpson, beefing up that offensive line to protect Aaron Rodgers. And, of course, we know about the Hassan Reddick holdout. You go on Hard Rock Bet right now, a 9.5 win total. A 9.5 win total with that over juiced at minus 155, so a lot of people hot on the Jets. How about we start with if it was the best-case scenario, C-Cat?
The ceiling is the roof. Let's make it happen.
The ceiling for these Jets, I mean, Mike T just said 10 wins is what he expects. I think the ceiling is about 12 wins. If everything goes right, if Rodgers is healthy, if Garrett Wilson has a top three, top two receiving year, we already know what Breece Hall is. We already know how elite that defense can be. If that offensive line can stay intact and stay healthy from Tyron Smith on the left side all the way down, why not a 12-win team in a division where the Dolphins got worse, the Bills got worse, at least on paper, and the Jets were the ones that made the incremental increases in the offseason? How about the floor? I'm glad the Jets brought in Tyrod Taylor, because Tyrod Taylor is the reason why the floor is 7 wins. If last year you can get 7 wins out of a Zach Wilson and Siemian-led team, I think Tyrod Taylor could get you there as well. But again, there's so many building blocks. This team is being held up by some stilts that are wobbly. Very wobbly foundation here. Bunch of old dudes, bunch of injury-prone dudes. I think 7 wins, a little disappointing, and then a lot of questions about whether or not Rodgers would want to come back next year. That's the floor for the New York Jets. But as I look into the future, I pull out the Big Teddy crystal ball. Here's what's going to happen. You heard it here first on Theoretically Speaking. 11 wins, AFC East champs. Yes, a man could change. I've been down on the Jets all year long. I've been singing the opposite of praises for them all year long. I think based on their fourth easiest strength of schedule, based on the fact that Aaron Rodgers is trying to have this reclamation to his image, he's got a book coming out and everything, I think they pull together 11 wins. Garrett Wilson looks like a top dog receiver. And I feel like in the playoffs, though, they're going to be one and done. They're going to be similar to like the Miami Heat, except they don't have the culture and they don't have the expert head coach. You got the old vet leading you in Aaron Rodgers. You got a team that is elite on the defensive side, and they're going to seem like more of a threat than they're actually going to be. They'll be bounced in the first round, but 11 wins and a division title. And you know what? That's a win in most Jets fans' book. They'll take that.
Yeah, I think so. I am so interested on your next Teddy Two-A-Days team, because if you think that the Jets are likely to win this division, what are you thinking about the rest of that division?
Well, I'll transition over because in case you missed it with the Jets, as they close the season against the Dolphins at home, I think both teams enter at 10 wins, and the Jets seal the deal in a dominant fashion. That's how they pick up their 11th win and the division crown. How about we switch it on over, though, to Miami Hard Rock Stadium? Teddy Two-A-Days takes on the Miami Dolphins.
Put, put, hike!
So the Dolphins last year, as we all know, 11-6. You lose in the first round against the Chiefs, 26-7. It was ugly. It was embarrassing. It was cold. But that's not all. The story of last year, they sucked against playoff teams in general. 1-5 against playoff teams, a minus 91 point differential. A lot of stuff to prove from Mike McDaniel and the crew. Their win total, the same as the Jets, 9.5, right? It's pretty fair. They've got the 8th easiest schedule. Let's go about if everything goes right for the Dolphins this year.
The ceiling is the roof. Let's make it happen.
I think their ceiling is 12 wins. I think their ceiling is a Tua Tagovailoa MVP consideration. Not a win. There's no world in which I see Tua getting an MVP. I see him being in consideration with the way that offense is going to flow. And also, I still don't see them winning in the first round. Even at the ceiling for this Dolphins team, they're not winning a playoff game. That streak is going to extend to 25 years in a row, the worst in pro sports. But what if it all goes wrong? The floor for the Fins. 8 wins, a losing season, and Mike McDaniel's seat gets a little hotter, plus the questions around that Tua Tagovailoa contract. See, Cat, imagine that. 8 wins with this team after you pay Waddle Hill and Tua. Woo! Where do you turn?
You turn inward. Was I high when you signed him for that deal? That's where you turn inward.
Chris Greer's been with the Dolphins for 20-plus years. I think finally he would be facing some heat there as well. And here it is. This is exactly what will happen for the Miami Dolphins, the Big Teddy crystal ball. Give me 10 wins. They get bounced in the first round, but most importantly, the Miami Dolphins will have the first pair of 1,000-yard rushers since 2009, smash and dash, Jonathan Stewart and D'Angelo Williams. And I know if you look at the record books, you'll say, well, the Ravens did it in 2019. I'm talking about 2 running backs, not one being a quarterback. I think that rushing attack is so undersold nationally because you look at the speed, you look at Tyreek Hill, Waddle, and Tua. Mike McDaniel is an expert at scheming up runs. I see that happening for the Dolphins. Some history, and by the way, the very first pair of 1,000-yard rushers in the NFL, 72, perfect Dolphin season, Larry Zonka, Mercury Morris. And in case you missed it, OBJ's a Dolphin. He'll probably retire there. He spent 1 year in Baltimore and said, get me to a nice city. There it is, the Teddy Two-A-Days, brought to you by EDS Air Conditioning and Plumbing. EDSisYes.com. EDSisYes.com. I mean, that's where you need to go to get your air conditioning needs. I know that, again, OBJ went from Baltimore to South Florida. He knows just how hot and steamy it can get over here in the summer, and you don't want your AC to break down on you. You don't want it to go out. The trusted AC experts in Palm Beach County is EDS Air Conditioning and Plumbing. How so? Well, they got a 4.8-star Google rating with over 760 reviews. Plus, they've been keeping you cool since 2006. 24/7 support, timely service, edsisyes.com. Book them online around your schedule. They're here for all your AC and plumbing needs. edsisyes.com. On the other side, we finally deliver on the Duffy's MVP Monday. It is a huge one. We had a lot of great athletes with shining stars and moments to remember. Who wins it all? We tell you on the other side. That's CCAT. I'm Theo Dorsey. We're Theoretically Speaking on ESPN 106.3. It was an immaculate weekend, not just in the Olympics, but in sports in general, but of course the focus on the Paris Olympics. And it's time now for your Duffy's MVP of the weekend. By the way, if you haven't figured out what you're doing for your fantasy football league right now, Duffy'sMVP.com, that's where you should go. Go on there right now, book out a private room. That's where you should be to do your fantasy football draft party. I mean, you got 80 or more TVs in every single location. You got the free Wi-Fi, so you'll be hooked up and good. Plus, award-winning burgers, jumbo wings, two-for-one drinks all day, every day. Duffy'sMVP.com. Book the party. And if you want to draft from the crib, that's cool, too. Duffy'sMVP.com, and you can get yourself a party platter, and you'll be the MVP of your fantasy football league before the thing even gets started. Speaking of MVPs, and again, at Duffy's, our game is always on. The MVP candidates from the weekend go as such. Number one, I got to go with Asia Wilson from Team USA Women. I mean, 21-13 and four blocks, 67-66 win over Team France. Team USA, 61-game winning streak, eighth straight gold medal. She was the fulcrum of the squad. She's the candidate number one. Candidate number two, C-Cat.
Got to go Bo Nix. You heard it from Mike T himself. Showed the arm strength. He's kind of the forgotten rookie quarterback. And he said, don't forget about me in Denver. Four scoring drives and five possessions. Touchdown, 50 for 21, passing with 125 yards. Love Bo Nix over the weekend.
But we know exactly where the MVP has to go. Not the guy that got MVP of the tournament, but Stephen Curry. 4 3-pointers with under three to go in the gold medal game. 24 points, five assists, four daggers. Bang, 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 bang. Clean up on aisle me. Steph Curry for three. He did it all day long. He's the Duffy's MVP of the weekend. The dude doesn't get enough credit for how immaculate he is. And again, he will go down as a top 10 basketball player of all time when it's all said and done. That's the Duffy's MVP of the weekend. And again, at Duffy's, our game is always on. What a fun Monday.
Clean up on aisle me?
Yeah.
What's that reference from?
It was like he did a good job of scoring, and I was really excited. That's C-Cat. I'm Theo Dorsey. Freddie and Harry next on ESPN 106.3.